If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Fanbyte Review Podcast. This one is going up live. No, not live. Live to tape, I guess, in a way. Featured contributor Funke Joseph, what do you think about podcasts?
Podcasts, you know, I love them. I like listening. Yeah. No, it's a great time. It's little voices in my head.
Now, a lot of people would say that's actually a bad thing oftentimes when that happens, but I'm glad that it works out for you. I am going to be your host for this one. As usual, the person who has not played a single second of the game in question, but I am senior managing editor of fanbyte.com, Nerium, and I am here with the aforementioned folks to talk about Stray.
Goaty.
Did I hear Goaty? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Do you mean that, or is that a goof?
Oh, that was a goof. I think it's a really nice game. It's pretty simple and sweet and accomplishes everything that I expected from it. But I don't know. It's like number one of the whole year.
Yeah, it's on my list, though. It might be on my list.
Well, if for people who don't have it on their list or their radar whatsoever, Stray is the new, I believe, French video game, third-person sort of puzzle adventure game, based on what I've seen of you playing it, sort of game, kind of a, not a point and click really, but like you go around, you platform, you jump on stuff, you find items to give to other characters so that they'll do stuff for you.
Yeah, it's a lot of exploration and fetch quests.
Right,
even though fetch you're not quests. A dog.
You know, cats can fetch sometimes. I used to play fetch with my cat, Ramba, which, by the way, as we go around this room, we talked about this earlier. All cat owners here?
Correct.
We are.
And my cat plays fetch, actually.
Oh, really? Still?
Yeah. If you get a crumpled up receipt, Ripley will, she'll run it right back to you and basically meow at you to throw it again.
Let me try that right now, because Ramba has decided to jump. It's almost his food time.
Right on.
So he's decided to jump behind one of my monitors. So I've thrown a piece of paper over to the side, and sure enough, he left to go get it. Great.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, the big thing about Stray is that you are playing as a cat in a post-human world, or is it? I literally don't know, because I don't know where the story goes like you two do, but you are going through a world full of robots that are like, oh, humans are dead, as far as we know, and you need to help them as you try to reconnect with your cat family. That's how it starts, right? It's you are this little orange cat, no name, as far as I know. There's no humans to give you one anyway, but you get separated from your family because of reasons?
Yeah. But you try to make a big jump and you fall.
Okay. What are you jumping over? Just a normal thing? Or is there like an earthquake?
It's like a gap, and then the metal kind of creaks and you fall and everyone else. All your cat friends are above ground.
So you got to get back up above ground.
Yep. Yeah, that's how you start. It's like you can see the actual like natural light in the sky a little bit. You're I guess you're in these like weird kind of tunnel-like areas, I guess hanging above like the sewers. And that's ultimately where you wind up falling into the underground city where the game takes place.
Okay, so you have to get down to get up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Okay, just making sure. I saw a little bit of this game, we talked about the, kind of that's basically the premise, right? Like that's
pretty much
the game. Does it like really change up all that much over the course of the, how long would you both say it took you to beat it?
I want to say maybe like 8 or 10 hours. Sounds about right.
Okay. It took me six.
6 oh,
okay. total. Okay. Yeah.
Wow, excuse me. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
That is because I'm a pro gamer. Yeah, it's because I'm a pro gamer. Paul, I can teach you some tips after.
Yeah, appreciate
it. No, no, no. I think the game's really short. I like this the style of game where, I don't know, it doesn't bloat itself with like a bunch of random quests that I'm never going to do and kind of just like filling it with busy work in a way that just stretches out the experience. But I think Stray is perfectly length. I don't have any complaints about that. There are some side quests you can do to, I guess, lengthen your stay in there. But I had fun. It was in and out.
Yeah, I want to say the same. Yeah, I share those sentiments exactly almost. Like, I feel like for me, I really appreciate the short form narrative driven game that doesn't really, like Funke says, kind of bore you with combat or like things that, you know, just kind of constantly get in the way that I think a lot of games feel the need to include, you know, for the sake of, I don't know, whatever psychological thing they're trying to achieve with the player. But yeah, I also went out of my way to try to complete side quests, and I got every memory except for one, which I'm pretty mad about. So I gotta hit up oshit.help, shameless plug, to find out where that last one is. But I like that. I really appreciate when a game respects my time in that way and kind of, you know, lets me know that I kind of had an idea of where things were going and when it would sort of wrap up soon, which I feel like most games just don't give you that. I always have to rush to, like, you know, howlongtobeat.com and figure out how much time I'm going to pour into this thing.
Not really an option when you're playing ahead of time early games. That can be kind of frustrating sometimes where you're like, I don't know what I'm getting into here.
Yeah. Right. Or especially if you get stuck on a puzzle. I was like, dang, what am I supposed to do for one of them? And I was sitting there like, should I just message Colin, like our guides writer? Should I be like, what is the solution? But I eventually figured it out.
Yeah. 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 And I feel like the game sort of progresses in a really like old school kind of way. Like, it's been a while since I've played a game like this, and I don't know, I've kind of felt myself recently longing for those kind of short form old school style very linear games, because I think a lot of the things I either play now are probably like live games or, you know, games where it takes at least 60 hours to complete. So it has been kind of nice to take a break from that and also engage with the story that I found, while really simple, really, really engaging and beautiful to absorb in all the ways the game goes out of its way to like render, from the visuals, obviously, to like even the score, I thought was really, really awesome. The sound design, it's just like it's total, for lack of a better term, catnip for me, where like I really like these simple experiences that are mainly there to just tell a story, even if it is a simple one. Because we can get into some of the things that we might not have loved about it, but I think overall, I would highly recommend this game to folks who want that kind of experience.
Yeah, like I hear that a lot. Like, there's such a mentality in games, feels like for the past 10 years, where a certain vocal group of players like, oh, if I'm paying $60, I want like 60 plus hours in a game. And it's like, you can't attach like dollar value to amount of time spent into a game. Like, that doesn't make it better if you're spending more time in an experience. Like, you can
also
spend 70-
don't actually want that. Like, historically, people just do not finish the games that they play already.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. So like, why do you want something longer if it's not going to be as fun? Like, I would much rather like the tight experience that Stray is. And yeah, I the only criticisms I have of it are very small, because it didn't switch anything up crazy in the story. Like, by the last half, it wasn't too out of what I expected. But I mean, it's a simple story. It accomplishes what it wants to do. It's really sweet, and the attention to detail is there. It's tangible. And I think Nerium, you've seen this, I guess, not even but from playing it, but just through clips. Like, there's the cat shit is accurate. Like, it's so real. Yeah. Like, the meow button, like the kneading on carpets, and just that little, like, those small touches make this game pop. And yeah, it really shined for me.
There's like a really good, again, just like looking at screenshots and watching the video from Uplay during our first bite, which you can find over at youtube.com/fanbite, just to tell you. There is a really, really, really strong sense of like, hand behind the camera, if that makes sense. Like, sure. All of the shots seem very intentionally framed. Like, a lot of the backgrounds and scenes and like just the architecture of what you're walking around look like very, very, very deliberate. Like, somebody specifically wanted you to see every single element of this city from this very particular view, which is oftentimes very low to the ground because you're a cat, obviously, that is much shorter than most of the people. So you have a sort of a worm's eye view of all this stuff going on, which has caused not the worm's eye view thing necessarily, but just like the general gist of the character design and the world design in the game has caused a bit of a hubbub today, now that the game is out, which I think we should at least probably mention, even though I don't think I'm perfectly equipped to talk about it too much, but there has been like people comparing like the look of this underground city looks very much like Kowloon Walled City. A lot of characters wear like sort of stereotypical hats, like associated with like rice farmers and stuff like that, like in a sort of cyberpunk orientalist sort of way, made by, crucially, these are French developers. This is not an Asian studio.
Yeah. I don't know much about the people actually creating the game, but yeah, there is like a bunch of just random Asian inspirations into this. And we have a piece on the site like talking about this trend, but we kind of saw the same thing with Sifu earlier this year. Mm-hmm. Or was that late last year? I don't remember.
It was early this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. That stuff was odd, and I mean, it's worth talking about. But yeah, I don't know. It seems like an unnecessary ad. Like, there's no reason for it.
Yeah, it always seems to be like a thing when it comes to anything set in cyberpunk, you know, settings where there is a template there that it's pretty much based off of. Thankfully, you know, the language and stuff that's written everywhere is very reminiscent of like, you know, Japanese or Korean even. And so you could see like some of those influences, especially like in the signs and, you know, the signs and stuff, but it never really like took me out completely. But again, yeah, I think that is pretty important to talk about, but I think overall the world itself, for like, I've been in such a sort of cyberpunk mood lately. And not just Cyberpunk 2077. I only just recently started playing,
you know,
that.
The best cyberpunk game, right?
Yeah, the template, right? No, I'm just kidding. But
it's a good game. I'll say it, dang it.
I only recently started playing it because of you know, our friends over at Normandy FM have started a playthrough of that, and I've been sort of following along because I've been so fascinated by it as just like a cultural touch point more than anything. Like, I have my issues and gripes with it, but I've also been watching, you know, a lot of Ghost in the Shell recently, a lot of like Standalone Complex. I've been even reading some stuff lately, and it's been just honestly inspired by the times that we kind of fucking live in now.
Yeah.
But there is something really interesting about where this story goes and what it has to say about, you know, people who are left behind and have to sort of figure out how to pick up the pieces and rebuild to a degree. And you know, without any sort of hope necessarily on what comes after, which is something that, you know, if you've been around for the last few years, is something that we can all relate to, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you touched on one of the most interesting parts about this game. Like, if robots, it proposes a question, like, if robots took everything that humans knew after humans supposedly died, they also take the bad parts too. Like,
right,
we don't really talk about that. Like, there's still an economic disparity. Like, there's cities here that are in like lower juxtaposition than other cities, and they live in poorer situations. And right, there's also more policing. The police design is also so good. It's like a surveillance camera as the head, and then just like a droid's body.
Oh.
it's a crazy cool design. But yeah, all of these things factor into like you just thinking about, wow, why are these robots suffering the same failings that humanity has suffered? It's all twisted, honestly.
It's very near Automata.
Oh, big time. There was so many moments where like the music would swell and like, you know, you'd be overlooking this really big, you know, beautiful vista, and I that came to mind immediately. It was like, you know, those same notes, which I love.
We should probably, I think most people who are familiar with this game can either, you know, see this aesthetic for themselves in the trailers, all that stuff. What is the gameplay like? Funke, when we did the first bite, it seemed like you maybe unlocked some combat type stuff, and I'm kind of curious if that starts to branch out in any kind of unique ways, or if what we saw is basically it.
That was basically it. Spoiler, but it fizzles out right after that. And I'm honestly glad.
Oh, that's literally the combat sequence in the game. It's not like it doesn't become a big thing later on.
No. It, like, at the end of that sequence, when I ended the call with y'all, the thing broke. The purple UV light that destroys the little head crabs just fell off, and then the robot was like, "Dang, we can't use that anymore."
Zerks? Is that what they're called?
Yes, the Zerks. But yeah, I mean, I didn't really like the combat sections too much. I preferred just jumping around. I would have preferred more, maybe even like a wall run. It sounds silly, but like some more parkour stuff. You know, like if you're a dexterous cat, show me that. Like, I would rather skill tree for that than like a gun on my back. Also, like, later on, there's still, I guess you're still running away from robots that are trying to kill you, but it's not, I don't know. You can't fight back. So it still feels like a very much a fast platformer through the whole game.
Yeah. There are the sequences where you're just kind of being chased, very like Uncharted, like, where you just have to run through, or honestly Crash Bandicoot, like, where you're just like running through a thing and just trying to make it in time to push X in order to get to the other platform or whatever. But yeah, I agree. I mean, the combat, you know, if you want to call it that, the combat sequences were fine. They didn't really challenge me in a way that I felt was, you know, particularly gratifying. But I appreciate the fact that they took a swing and really built a game around not needing that combat in order to become engaging. It's interesting how, like, it's tough for me most times, unless I'm really digging a game that has like skill trees and combat, like Control, where like I'm reading every page that I find in email correspondence, like, because I just want to learn about, you know, that world.
Yeah.
It's interesting how in Stray, I was also doing that, and I didn't really feel the need to, you know, fight things or feel like I needed a constant skill check. Like there was a really interesting, I don't know, to me, these kind of games really speak to me as someone who like really appreciates that Fumito Ueda school of design of like less is more, you know, literally design by subtraction, where like you're trying to literally piece things together yourself as someone, as an outsider yourself, and trying to just really absorb everything that you can from like Funke was saying before, like from the structures that the robots have sort of inherited from humans, you know, the everything, every little piece, every sign, every little like interaction between NPCs was fascinating. You know, it's like, I don't know, I found myself really going out of my way to try to find those memories. And when I did, I was so excited because it was a new little piece of lore that I could discover about a world that, like, you know, ultimately is really sad. It's a really sad story about, again, what happens to the folks who are the ones keeping everything, you know, standing. And, you know, it's, and then when the people who basically control it all, when they dip, it's like, oh shit, yeah, like what happens to us?
And what's passed down? Like, what are the ideas that they think, oh yeah, that's normal?
Right. And it doesn't really, like, ultimately, I guess, minor spoiler alert, it doesn't have a ton to say about it, which I think is one of the parts about the game that I wish there was a bit more of, but I still think the experience itself and like the questions it brings up and the way it presents certain, you know, visual metaphors and stuff, like, it's really interesting. I mean, it was really striking to me, as someone, you know, from similar environments like this, where, you know, you don't necessarily get those same funds in your neighborhoods, and you see how it impacts the people that you grow up with. It was really jarring at one point to like run around a corner and see like a cop basically, you know, stopping someone and frisking them. And like, you know, that was, it brought up some feelings, you know, and seeing that from the perspective of a cat, of like this small little cat. It really makes these moments, these small, you know, intimate yet pretty traumatic moments, so much larger than life because in your case, they happen to be. It's a really fucking cool game. I don't know. Yeah. It's hard for me to like put into words sometimes, but even the idea of exploring a space in that size and being able to reach places and crawl under things, it's like, it's awesome. I don't know. It's like every kid's dream, you know?
It really is. Like, and you said, Paul, it doesn't explicitly say or finish its thoughts on these subjects like policing and poverty mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But the way it presents it to you, it really makes you think about it and comes to your own conclusions, which, I mean, it's not hard to realize that these things are bad, but like sure. when you see a bunch of robots that are breakdancing or they have to stop breakdancing because they installed like 3 security cameras just around them. And one of your side quests is to like disable those cameras. And then they teach you a new song. Like if you do that, like yeah. they do a little breakdance, they teach you a song and you can play it on a cassette in another area. It's great. And it's those little moments. I actually had a question for both of you, Nir and Paul. Has there been a cat game like this before? Because I know games industry's like memory is very short, and I am coming into it fairly recently. So I'm like, has this happened before?
Blinks would like a word.
Blinks.
I blinks the time cat.
We can't. Also, everybody always that here is where I take umbrage with fake Blinks fans. Fake Blinks fans always want to talk about Blinks and the importance of Blinks and how influential Blinks was, but they always say Blinks the Time Cat. It's Blinks the Time Sweeper. Please. Mm. Please. Please.
Is he not a time cat?
I mean, he's a cat, but I don't think that's relevant to his time traveling abilities.
True.
As for games where you play as a cat, like fully, I'm sure there are like things out there. Like there's probably some Japanese game that never came out in the United States where you did stuff like this. There's also like Cubivore. There's like,
what was that Tokyo Jungle one?
Tokyo
where you
Jungle.
Played, like, a Pomeranian at first or whatever.
Yeah. Tokyo Jungle had some stuff like that, but that, you know, in the sense of being a game like this, where it's like a big open world, not open world necessarily, but like a big puzzle game with like a sort of hub world where you move around and go help people with things. I don't think that has really existed in, you know, modern memory.
Mm-hmm. But that's such yeah. it's like such a simple yet perfect idea for a game. Like, yeah, perfect pun intended. As Nir was saying earlier, like the shots seem so engineered for each step you're taking to be picturesque and to be screenshotable, and I was just like spamming the screenshot button. Same. But this game feels developed for this age of web where, like, I mean, everyone's always loved cats on the internet, but like the systems in which people can spread that joy and that love, like tweets and sharing directly from console and cutting content and putting it on TikTok, like it's popping off on all of these networks online. And I think just because it's such a simple and well executed idea that it just works. And mm-hmm. it makes me happy to see like a project like this succeed. Quite yeah. honestly,
it's been succeeding and then some for, I don't know, whatever reasons people found out about this game in
like
droves, because it's the people like cats. It's true. I mean, Cat Lateral Damage was a game that where you played as a cat, and you know that's like not really a story driven game in the same way. That's more like a goat simulator kind of like destruction game. But like that game did not sell the way that this game is selling. This game is top of Steam top sellers list for like even when it was like pre-sales, it was selling, it was outselling games like Skyrim and stuff like that, you know, like on sale and whatnot. People really, really, really want to play this cat game.
It's definitely because of the art style, like how it's trying to be very realistic, and it can go a bit more fantastical with the robot designs and the droids, but with the mm-hmm. cat, like that looks like a freaking cat. Like, especially on PlayStation 5 or like a really good PC, the whiskers, like all of that is really well modeled. And it's a very small team. So like they should be very, very proud of that. Also the environments, which, they're so good.
Yeah. No, even like the you know, the sort of stuff that I usually would kind of like scoff at, like, oh, what a gimmick. But even the sort of like, you know, the haptic feedback on the triggers and the vibration on PS5 and like the meow coming from the controller speaker and stuff, like little things like that were kind of a neat addition to everything else going on in the game, which, you know, I think the game in a lot of ways like leans on a lot, because it reminds me of, you know, other Annapurna published joints like, God, what is it called? The Outer Wilds and, like just the idea that a game can exist without combat and you can advance through that game, to a degree. Like there are still parts where you have to sort of engage and potentially get hurt and die and restart at a checkpoint, which is kind of like the old stuff that I didn't really love, but it was fine. It never really felt egregious in any way, but
those were also my least favorite segments. Like those ones where like you can die and you see like a dead cat there and you're like, I thought this was like kind of a sweet, like relaxing game.
Like there are stealth portions where like they weren't my favorite. Like, and I love stealth games. Like I love stealth games where like you have choices of like what you can do and how you can accomplish a specific task. But these were just kind of like, you have to get around it kind of things that were more annoying than anything.
But to have the option when you play so many games, like we play so many games this year, every year, and so many of them result in violence, like you using violence to complete the task and to win. It is refreshing to see a game that's like, no, why don't you just be a sneaky little guy and steal a hat from a store instead of like fighting all these guards, like just dress up as one, like get a robot to dress up as one and you can steal the hat or like knock over some paint cans to open this area up for you. It's really like it makes you think like a cat. And I've never had to think like a cat. I'm always like, man, Gogeta, which is my cat's name, why'd you knock that off the table? But now
you get
I'm
it
like,
now.
It's fun and there's no consequences. And like everyone is just like still happy with you after you knock shit over. Like
yeah, right. My carpet. You don't care about that.
They had to invent like weird little head crab monster Ratchet and Clank enemies to attack and kill the cat because they know that nobody would ever actually intentionally harm a cat.
Right?
Nobody with a human mind.
But yeah, it's just really, really sweet in its problem solving. And just all the way around, it's very careful in the way it tells this simple, straightforward story.
Did you get all the songs for that guitarist in that like alleyway area?
I got like 3 or 4, I think. I don't know if I got all of them.
Yeah, so like that was one of my favorite parts of the game where like kind of exemplifies what I really appreciate about it, which is you're exploring the space and you're trying to uncover these little gems that you can then present to people for context. And there's a guitarist in this sort of alleyway area where, he's just kind of strumming. You can also like press triangle near him to like sleep, just roll up into a little shrimp ball and take a little snooze, which is nice. And you're purring. And there are moments like there are like these really quiet moments in the game that give you a chance to sort of breathe and take it all in and just, you know, kind of marvel at the technical things happening, right? Like the lighting and the really cool graphics. But more than that, just like the actual world itself, like what was built and like you can sort of let your imagination run wild about like what this space was probably used for and what memories were made here and, you know, that are now just forgotten completely. So you have to find these pieces of sheet music and bring them back to this guitarist and he then just plays them for you. And it's this kind of like interesting moment where, again, you can sort of sit there and just listen or you can curl up into a ball and sleep next to him while he plays. But they all have these sort of small stories to tell, these pieces of music, and sometimes they're not all my favorite, but it was still kind of cool to see to think about like who made this music and like what is this talking about, and like just that constant you almost feel like it's an archaeological dig. You're constantly sweeping up stuff and finding new things to look at and analyze. It's really cool, man. I don't know, like I love this kind of simple, and again, it might be too simple for some folks, but like if you open yourself up to it and you're willing to let you take it there, like or let it take you there, like it's kind of rewarding in a lot of different ways.
I really like songs in general that use rest and silence in effective ways to make the other parts pop. And I feel like Stray does this very well, and it reminds me a lot of Life is Strange as well. Like when something big happens in the story, there's usually a moment where you can just sit and listen to music in Life is Strange and just like reflect on everything that's going on and maybe plan out some future conversation paths you want to take. And just like honestly just take in the world and absorb it all and throw you into that character's mind. And Stray has a lot of moments like that too, where you can just curl up into a ball and just relax. And normally there's like either you're beside the musician who's playing sheet music that is really, really good and made me want to look up the soundtrack and listen to it like yesterday as well. Or it's just like in another character's room or right after a big race or a chase scene you did. Those moments really just like meld your mind into the cat mindset and just be like, merp, merp. Because while you're curled up, you can still meow, even though you can't do anything else. and that shit just hits. Like,
yeah.
And as Paul said, like, there isn't anything explosive or real big twist, I'll say. But it's nice to enjoy something like just that is what it is trying to
be. What
you
see is what you get. You know?
Yeah, what you see is what you get. That's a good way of putting it here. Like, yeah, I don't need something so off the walls bonkers. It's nice to just play through that and be happy with my time with it.
It would almost be more predictable to me if they tried to do a twist in this game, because it feels like something where it's like the humans are actually alive and the humans are cats and they turn their bodies into little robot cats and you're a robot, but for real, because all the cats are actually dead, not the humans. You know, like if they tried to pull something like that, I almost feel like that would be cheap. But like the idea of just like, nope, you are simply experiencing this world as it comes through the eyes of a character who is an outsider and interacts with it in a way that gives you incentive to do different interesting things in the world.
Yeah, it's also nice to just play a thing, especially in a cyberpunk setting that, like Funke was saying, like doesn't need to be this, you know, have these world-ending stakes, right? Like I think a lot of times that can either push or drive players or people absorbing this content to want to see it through to the end. But, you know, I guess light spoilers, but the game doesn't really do that. And I love it for that. Like even thinking about how a lot of cyberpunk stuff is unnecessarily horny in some ways, because, you know, especially when it comes to games, like I was talking about 2077 a while ago, but there are times, or, you know, just egregious examples of moments where you're like, did you really need to go there to really, you know, tell the story you wanted to tell? Or was this just sort of like a kind of dick and fart joke that you wanted to get across?
Salacious for no reason.
Like, yeah, or did you just want to be horny for horny's sake?
Because the game doesn't put that on a screenshot that will sell. Right. Somebody somewhere said that this game will sell X more copies if we tell people that there's titty in it.
Right, right.
Not titty because you believe in the titty and want the titty, but because you, you know, for mercenary reasons.
It's set dressing.
Mm-hmm.
But the game doesn't do that, which I appreciate. It's kind of... it doesn't need to go there, and it still manages to tell a really heartfelt story, you know, a simple one, but still one that, like, I don't know, again, touches on a lot of stuff that we're currently going through and kind of speaks to a sort of like hope that a lot of games either, I don't know, stumble into or don't quite necessarily stick the landing quite as well, mostly because, you know, there are four legs here, so that helps. But I think in Stray's case, I think like, having a game that communicates this idea of hope and what it can look like to rebuild and make sense of the failures of a system is like, I needed that right now personally.
Yeah, I feel that very hard.
Well, awesome. I mean, I think we've probably said most of what we need to say about Stray. The one thing I do kind of feel like it's worth grabbing on to here that we haven't really gone into super specifically, and maybe we can say more after it just so we don't end on a mild bummer, but like, you tell me if it's a bummer. I know people out there were asking like how badly can the cat get hurt and can the cat die and stuff, and it didn't seem like it was actually too over the top to me when I was watching you play, Funke.
That shit is sad. It's I don't know, I didn't think it would ever be able to die like that. But I don't know. I don't want to speak for you, Paul, but for me, it was rough to see, especially there's a lot of segments where either like a certain kind of robot can kill you and that it shoots like electrifying darts into you, like four
like
times and then
you
die. Yeah. Tases you and then you die. Or the Zerks, which are these alien type little crabs that can jump onto you and suck your blood until you die. It is kind of intense. I think Stray, I almost called it Prey. Stray does gross, otherworldly shit pretty well, and I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, there's also like, so that stuff didn't really, I mean, it might sound like a monster after this, but that stuff didn't really bother me as much. I like, you know, it was like, oh, that's so sad, but I, you know, it didn't really linger with me. But there are like some pretty nasty, I don't even know how to say it, like kind of body horror kind of stuff at some points of the game, where like, because there are certain parts of the world where like this, you know, this weird sort of monster style infection fungus thing is growing, which is where the Zerks come from, I think. Mm-hmm. So seeing that kind of like gooey sort of, you know, gory texture, like stringy all over the place and kind of oozing and moving, that was a little unsettling. So I think if you have any, like, I don't know, if that stuff makes you uncomfortable, just be aware going into it, but you don't really linger too much, which is good. I mean, that's the point of the game, right? You're trying to get through and move on. But yeah, that disturbed me more than the actual, like, you know, cat getting tased or whatever.
That's interesting, because just from what I saw of it, and again, I have not seen most of the game, but to me, it very much, it just seems so cartoony. It seems so, like I mentioned earlier, so Ratchet and Clank level. Like even the Zerks are just like, there are these big, weird frogs with a big, goofy, googly eyeball. And when they jump onto the cat, it's not like they're like tearing it apart or anything like that. It's like they jump on, the screen goes red and the cat falls over, and there's not like, they don't linger on it.
Right.
But that's interesting.
It was stressful for me, like in those segments, because you can't even jump. You can just steer left to right. It really does feel like a Crash Bandicoot style game.
You can't independently jump in this game, can you?
Not unless there's a ledge in front of you.
Huh. That was so interesting. That's such an interesting design choice to me, of like doing the Wind Waker style jump mechanics.
They said that at the preview event, they were saying they wanted to make the platforming as simple as possible, and introducing like a regular jump would mess that process up making players think that they could jump on things that they maybe weren't allowed to. Mm-hmm. So it just makes things more straightforward in that sense. But it is frustrating in those chase sequences when the Zerks are jumping on you, and I'm like, oh shit, like, let me just drop this guy off fast. And then you die, and it's like, oh, I don't like all this.
It's actually interesting you brought up Zelda, because there was like, to me, that was like a direct connection to, this game was a direct connection to me to something like Ocarina of Time or Majora's Mask, like when I first sort of encountered these small confined spaces that felt like, you know, people were living there and NPCs were kind of going about their routines and you could interact with them, but only to a certain degree. Like, it reminded me a lot of like Majora's Mask. And I don't know. I thought that was like a really cool template to sort of build a game like this off of, where, you know, you don't necessarily have to be the hero. I mean, you are to a degree, but you're not this, like, you know, this adventurer with a sword and shield on your back. Like there is a sort of like interesting tone it strikes when you're like meowing at a thing and they're talking to you, but they're also talking to the little droid that you know accompanies you, B12, I think is their name. But yeah, I don't know, I it made me want to revisit a Majora's Mask or an Ocarina of Time, because they actually do share more DNA than I think with other games.
Yeah, I think we can probably actually just wrap up this whole pod, unless you all have something specific you want to get to that we didn't touch on already. It sounds like a cool game. I want to play it.
Yeah, you should.
Mm-hmm. I definitely recommend it. I think it's nice. I think if you like cats, you'll enjoy this, especially if you're not, like, you don't consider yourself a gamer. I feel like this is one of those games you can just, like, pick up and play through, and it's not as high intensity that it'll put a lot of people off. I think it's a great welcoming game.
Totally. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I'm actually going to be going to that Chinatown pop they have going on in New York. So I'm going to swing by that and report back, let y'all know how it goes.
Yo, send those pics. I definitely want to see that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, last question from me, since we are getting up there, it's, I don't know if you noticed, you've looked outside, it's hot out, it's summer. We're in the dog days, where, despite playing a cat game, not a lot of other video games coming out right now. July 20th, pretty close to Game of the Year season.
Ah!
Pretty close to a game of the year season for the purposes of this segment that I'm doing here, Funke.
It is. I was about to say it is.
Where would y'all, you don't have to like put a hard number on it, but like, you know, is this a contender for your top 10?
Okay.
Absolutely. Yes, but there's also, there's not many games right now, and I don't know if that'll change before the end of the year. But I did really like this game. If it's on my top 10 or not, I still like it.
Hell yeah.
I feel the same way. I think it has a good chance of ending up on my list, you know, my top 10, but I really don't play as many games nowadays, like for coverage. So who knows, but I definitely, you know, again, share Funke's sentiments about like, I think if you're interested in this and you want to, you know, if you like the sci-fi cyberpunk setting, I think it's still absolutely worth a playthrough. And I think it's available to like PS Plus, like the top tier subscribers, if I'm not mistaken.
Middle tier and the top tier? God, Paul, how does that whole fucking thing?
God, yeah. So, I mean, you might already have it or have a chance to add it to your library already if you have that. But I still think, like, regardless, I think it's worth checking out. I think it's a really neat little story.
So $30, PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5. I think everybody here played it on PC?
PS5.
You played it on PS5. You were on PC. Okay. Ran okay on both?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think my PC is probably getting old. You know, there's a couple of moments where it just, like, frames dropped. But only during, I think, when I was taking screenshots. But everything else is really smooth.
You ready for that 4000 series, those NVIDIA, new NVIDIA cards? You going to get a 4080?
I don't know anything about a computer. My friend built this for me. And I was like, yep. Can you make sure the beeps go boop? Thank you. make sure it's shiny and cool.
Yeah, tune up the graphics on level 5.
Yeah, enhance.
Well, we will all go beep and boop our cats on the nose after we are done with this podcast here, which is, right now. We're going to wrap it up there. Thanks, everybody, for stopping by and telling me about Stray, as well as all the listeners out there about Stray.
Yeah, anytime.
Of course. It was a pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's always wonderful to be on a podcast with y'all. And it's always wonderful to hear all of you enjoy our stuff. You can tell us how much you enjoy our podcast over at fanbyte.hasa. That is the Discord community for fanbyte.com. You can also go to iTunes, Spotify, any of those good places and rate and review us if you really, really like. However, if you just enjoy 99 Potions and other video game related stuff at Fanbyte, tell a friend. That is currently our best way of spreading word of mouth. I think Jordan was pretty open about this on a previous episode of Channel F, but it's just kind of a situation of like, hey, we don't have a lot of money for advertising around here. We're owned by a major corporation. They don't give us any of that for our stuff necessarily. So, you know, word of mouth still the best way to promote our things.
Yeah. Let your friends know.
Yeah.
Rate and review the pod.
All that good stuff. You know how it goes. You listen to podcasts before. Beyond that, where can people find you on the internet? Paul.
You can find me at Polymio. It's P-O-L-I-M as in Mario. A-Y-O.
Oh, as in Mario.
Mm.
Ah.
Like Chris Pratt.
Exactly. The canonical Mario.
Where can people find you, Funke?
On Twitter at FunkeFly, F-U-N-K-E-F-L-Y. Or on Twitch with the same username, where I don't have a schedule, but I'm going to be streaming.
Ooh.
For fun. I'm playing some Metal Gear Solid 2. It's a pretty good game.
You can also follow our wonderful other producer, who is actually doing the production on this pod, sitting in with us, Jordan Mallory, at Jordan_Mallory. You can follow me on the Twitter at... Oh, Jordan is only taking notes. Sorry, I don't want to steal valor. I never want to steal valor, and I never want to give valor to somebody who doesn't deserve it. Paul's going to be producing this episode. Damn. Jordan was here running.
Jordan stepped up, though. Appreciate it.
Jordan very much stepped up after a very hectic morning. Came in last ass second to come and help us. So you should go follow him on Twitter. You can also follow me on Twitter at Miriam Strum, NeriumStrom. And you can follow Fanbyte Media on Twitter at Fanbyte Media. And for now, we're putting this review in the rear view.
Heyo.
But we're always looking forward.
Period.
Bye.
Bye.